org mode and kind of note taking. And that meant that it wasn't too difficult to get started with. But when I started more on the coding side, because I'm a software engineer, on the day job, that kind of got me to think that the colors and how themes look, how Emacs looks, was affecting. And that's how it kind of came to picture. So I could have kind of gone into a little bit more coding side of things, but yeah, I didn't want to stress too much on the talk. So that's why I kind of stuck to a very small bits of org mode and elisp. And yeah, I think that's how it came about.
Yeah, but that's perfectly fine. You know, we have, that's one of the chief reason why we have two tracks for EmacsConf, and we've had those for the last 4 years, I think. It's because we have a general track, which is more geared towards people who want a general, well, generally people who are highly interested into org mode and not necessarily into coding, but just to whet their appetite to what can be done. And on the dev track, we have, well, this year we have talked about Rust and about other fancy things that people can do with Emacs. But, you know, I'm also a software engineer. You know, we do this all the time. Sometimes it's just fine to just chat about colors and just the result of what we develop rather than how the sausage is made. So that's completely fine, too. I'm not sure if you mentioned it in your presentation, but why color out of all the things you could be writing on your setup? Why were you so interested about colors?
I think it was just that mainly that I had to do a lot of context switch between different languages. Elisp is not the one, because Elisp is something that I would do for Emacs editing, but for day job I had to use mainly Go, as I work with Kubernetes quite a bit. So Go and also web languages like TypeScript, JavaScript, you know, those languages, where right. I felt that whenever I was switching context to a different language, I felt that it's kind of annoying to see all the different colors in languages like TypeScript, where, you know, VS Code way would be very full of colors, which I felt that, okay, like, why do I have to have that many different colors on let and constant, or the keywords, where it could be just a white text. It didn't have to be that mm-hmm. colorful. So that was the most annoying bit when it came to context switching. And I felt that that just didn't happen in org mode or writing in general. So I had to find a way to make it work, make my coding more kind of friendly to me. And that's when I thought maybe just the colors are something that's bothering me. And it actually was the case. And that's how I got to more into the color kind of journey and got too much into it, I guess.
Right. And was it what eventually motivated you to learn Elisp and to get into the Emacs core? Because it's funny how you find plenty of people using Emacs in org mode, and then they find something that they take particular issue with. For you, it's the color. And then they just go all in trying to pull the rope as far as they can to try to understand as much as possible about what code is managing this part of the application. Like, for you, it was color. For me, it was the org agenda. I desperately wanted to make org agenda do something that it wasn't able to do. And 5 years, well, actually, no, 10 years later, I find myself hosting EmacsConf. So you never know just how far you're going to be pulling this rope. So it's really interesting for me that color was this. But back to the question, is this what eventually motivated you to get into Elisp and the core of Emacs?
I think that the original journey to move to Emacs was around key bindings that I got annoyed with other solutions, not just, you know, mm-hmm. not speaking of Emacs key binding or anything, like anything in general. The main reason was that I used Dvorak keyboard layout, and that meant that all the Control-C, Control-V, Control-P, whatever, it just is all over the place. So I had to find something that could work for me, and Emacs was a solution that allowed me to do anything. And that's the kind of the journey that it originally started. And from there, started the tweaking org mode and writing experience to be tuned to my liking. Color was another thing that I thought, okay, maybe I could do it easily with org mode. And when I started to use more of the coding side of things on Emacs, I felt that, okay, that was something I needed to solve. So Elisp was always kind of just a toolkit that, you know, I knew that it was available. I knew that it would be something that I want to be able to use. So I think in a way, color was a good segue to understand how I can kind of work out more of a complex logic with the editor without having to write JavaScript or things that I don't particularly like. So yeah, I think the journey around the functional languages, functional kind of programming was always something that I was keen about. And yeah, the whole journey kind of made sense for me. And then moving on to the color was just one way to get more involved in. So I can totally see the this journey kind of, making to a little bit different angle. But yeah, we shall see how that really turns out. But for now, I think I'm happy with the color setup. Now I can really focus on the coding.
Well, that's all good, and I'm sure plenty of people listening to you now, find this relatable, how they eventually got into programming. Like for you, you did say that you were a software engineer now, and but I found plenty of people, especially during workshops, that just started, their software engineering journey just with Emacs, and they just realized they were doing something completely different. Like I was studying humanities, but then you touch Emacs, and you realize, yeah. This whole programming shtick is actually pretty damn cool. And then you find yourself again 5 to 10 years later becoming a software engineer. So yeah, that's all good. So we do have a couple of questions, and I'd like to move into them so that I mean, people have questions, and for me, it's okay for me to chat with you, but obviously it's better if people ask you the question themselves. And again, if you want to ask questions to Ryota directly, feel free to join us on BBB. And whenever we're done with the questions on the pad, I'm more than happy to let you ask your questions live. All right, so starting with the first question, is there any intention to create a library for working with more experimental color spaces, pulling code out of Elsleyberg for this purpose, perhaps? Although I do not know Elsleyberg, you might.
Yeah, has a big. And to answer the question, I started the journey just for myself, and I didn't think that it would be actually useful for other use cases. And this conference talk just came about kind of out of a sheer luck, really. So the idea, I think I can definitely work it out, and I don't think there will be too. The original code that I started with was. I had to use some color space, and I started with sRGB, and then went to HSL, and then went to LCH. So I think there has been quite a bit that I learned from it. At the same time, I may be tempted to actually maybe perhaps contribute back to ct.el rather than creating my own. I think that would make more sense perhaps. But for my own kind of taste, that I thought that it would be something I can work out in my theme. But I don't have any. I think making it a library is definitely something that I can think about. But perhaps maybe making it too many packages isn't exactly what I want. But for my own use case, I think I just wanted to have something that just didn't have any external dependency, so that I can use the vanilla Emacs with my colors. I think that's how it started. But I'm definitely up for it if there is interest about it.
Yeah, well, thank you for this. It's always good to contribute. I'm tempted to say that's how they get you. You do something really cool and you share it with people, and they have the they just ask you, oh, do you have your code online? And you realize, no, I haven't pushed it. And then they start pressing you on. Oh, you need to do this. This is amazing, and you need to share it. That I had plenty of people ask me to share my dot files when I was, well, tackling the org agenda issue that I mentioned earlier. And yeah, eventually when you get to publishing your stuff, you also feel great because you're putting a little bit of your intelligence into the world, and it can be the start of the journey for someone else. Maybe someone will find your color library at some point and realize, yeah, I wanted to do something slightly differently. And then they either contribute to your library or they make their own. But it's a complete journey that starts with just people taking the time to publish the content of their brain, basically.
Yeah, that's the power of open source, no? It's just how we really appreciate the open source culture being cultivated throughout so many years. And yeah, this is something that I'm definitely keen about. So yeah, open for suggestions, and exactly that's how I started with the journey. And yeah, while this is very experimental and very personal, yeah, I'm not, tied down to one particular way only. So yeah, we'll be open to suggestions like this one,
Yeah.
which I would definitely think about.
Yeah, that's amazing. And just to be clear, this is not a, there's no incentive. Well, I'm not pushing you to publish your library. You do you. You know, it was very personal for you. And at the end, if you believe it might be useful for others, it's a nice thing to eventually think about publishing it. But just the fact that you showed up at EmacsCon, sorry, I'm starting to lose my voice on the morning of the first day. That's not boding well for the two next days. I mean, just one day. But just the fact that you're showing up at EmacsCon and sharing about all of this, the process, how you got to it eventually, it's also a part of sharing. And I think it's also amazing in its own way.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to try to read the next question and then try to cough a little bit. So can we have
hi,
lighting variations made from your team? Oh, sorry, Bala. Sorry.
I was the one who asked the question. I thought I could ask it live here rather than...
Thank you. I'll go cough a little bit.
So here I am. Thanks, Ryota, for the nice talk. This is great. I loved it. Your attention to detail was awesome. So I was just looking at the code and I was wondering, do you have a dark and a light theme variation which can be made from your theme? Or do you have to customize it every time? That was my question. And thanks for
Thank you very much. I appreciate your feedback and question. So to answer the question, the short answer is that I do have both dark and light themes with some sorts of standard colors that I personally liked. And there were a few things that I showed in the demo where I showed, I think, three different dark theme colors. So light theme is definitely something that I can do. And the idea around Hasselberg theme and just my theming in general was that when I feel like I want to work in dark theme and when I want to work in the standard way, I would just use the standard color. But when I feel like maybe it's just so cold that I want to have a bit of a warm colors near me, I would use the orange theme without changing too much of the kind of general feeling and experience. So that can be said for the light theme as well. So there is something, and the kind of customization isn't that difficult to extend. So I do have both dark and light, but primarily I'm just looking at the dark theme as my main driver. But yeah, they are both available.
Great. Thank you so much. I will definitely try your team out. I'm definitely on the lookout for a nice, friendly team.
Thank you very much. This is, you know, as I said, this is a personal theme. I'm not sure if it really fits everyone's need, but it is one inspiration that I hope that can lead to another nice theming that could work for, you know, someone specifically for some use cases. I don't have to solve everyone's problem.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, it was sufficient to be inspirational to people. I mean, just Bala just mentioned it right now, but I'm sure plenty of people who watched live, but also people who will be watching in the future, will have their interest piqued by what you've done. So thank you again so much for this.
Yep.
All right. Well, I don't see any further questions, so I suggest we move towards closure. Ryota, do you have any last words?
No, I don't. So yeah, thank you very much for attending. And it was great fun putting this together. And I really didn't think that I would be talking about my personal colors and personal favorites, like orange being my favorite color. This wouldn't be something that I would say out in any conference, to be honest. But it just came out to be, and you know, happy that I had a chance. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk in this amazing conference. And yeah, I can't just wait to check out other talks, which, you know, I know that there isn't, you know, other talks that are happening right now. I was actually wanted to join them and check that out. So I will probably do that right now.
Well, sure. Well, I won't hold you any longer then. Thank you. It's for me, it was just amazing to, you know, generally when you ask someone what their favorite color, you know, they just tell you orange or blue, whatever. They don't go then to chat about 20 minutes about their favorite color and how they tuned their entire editor to work exactly around their favorite colors. So it was inspiring. And I also want to try it out, frankly, because my theme has been utterly bad for the last 5 years and I need some change into my life. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, everyone. Cheers.
Bye-bye.